I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit this morning on this program. I feel like there's more people to see about the workings of the Holy Spirit than there are about the Father and the Son. As I see so much confusion among people as I talk to them, I hope I can bring you a little enlightenment this morning as I talk to you about what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has existed before creation, was there when the world was created. When God wrote our names in the book of life before the foundation of the world, the Holy Spirit was there. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit run the governments of heaven. They always have been in harmony, complete harmony, and they always will. The Holy Spirit was alive and in action in the Old Testament, even at creation. It said the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. In Noah's day, the Holy Spirit was in action because God the Father warned them that God's Spirit shall not always strive with a man. God the Father sent His Son into the world to do His will, and He did His will completely by doing what He said and by speaking the words the Father told Him to speak. The Lord, when He went back to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit into the world. And the Holy Spirit only says and does what the Son says and does. The Son uses the Spirit to do His work here in the world. The Bible describes the Spirit of God as a dove, the most humble and gentle of all creatures, the breath, and a lamb, the wind. We don't know where it comes from or where it's going, but you can feel His presence, and the Holy Spirit is like that. He's in action all over the world like the wind. Another thing about the Holy Spirit, He's sovereign in His actions and in His dealings. You cannot make the Holy Spirit breathe upon you no more than you can make the wind blow. So you better take warning, because the Holy Spirit's sovereign in His dealings. He might come to a service and deal with two or three people there and leave you out. You can't make Him breathe on you. Let me give you a warning. There's so many spirits in action now. The Bible said you better be able to discern the spirits, what's true and what's false, or what's imitation. Satan sent a lot of imitation spirits out in the world to try to imitate the Holy Spirit. So you better listen. You better get the Word of God and examine what you believe before the Word of God, lest you be deceived by one of these evil spirits. The Bible said if the Spirit of God indwells us, we are consecrated unto God, and our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not God meeting you out yonder somewhere when death comes or when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. But the question is, does the Holy Spirit dwell in your body? Is your body a temple of the Holy Spirit? If it does, your desire is to be conformed to the image of God's Son and to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit in your life as we live here in this world. Another warning I'd like to give you: if the Holy Spirit is not living in you, you cannot worship God, because the Lord Jesus Christ Himself said to worship God, you'll have to worship in spirit and in truth. Without the Spirit of God indwelling you, You can only worship God with your lips. Your heart will be far from you. It'll be an imitation worship. You can go into all the services your church have and sing and maybe even pray and not even worship God. I'm afraid to most people in this day that they never worship God, because you cannot worship God unless the Spirit of God is indwelling you. It's not the Spirit way out yonder somewhere, the Lord being your shepherd when you come to die. But is the Lord your shepherd now while you live? Is the Spirit of God indwelling you? I'd like to read you what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit of God. When Lord Jesus Christ was going to send him into the world, in the 16th chapter of St. John, here's what it says. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. Things happen to test the faith of the disciples, and they're going to happen to you and me. And many of them disciples got offended and went back and followed him no more. So you better examine yourself, because you're going to have to go through the test. And let me read you what kind of test the Lord said his disciples was going through. Would you have been offended and went back? He said, tell his disciples as he's fixing to leave them, they shall put you out of their synagogues. What a terrible statement. There were synagogues in every little city, and he tells them they'll put you out of their synagogues. You won't be popular when you go to church. If you let the Spirit indwell you and bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, a lot of imitation religious people will persecute you in your own church, and they'd like to see you out. Because I talked to a man that run a liquor store one time. I invited him to go to church. He said, I wouldn't go to church for anything, because my conscience would kill me as long as I work in this liquor store. So if you really got the Holy Spirit and it's working in your church, really Spirit-filled people won't be too popular. If that wasn't bad enough, listen what else he tells them. He's fixing to leave them. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. He said, imitation, religious people would kill you. They put the Lord Jesus Christ to death a little later. It was people that had imitation religion that killed him and had him nailed to the cross. And he tells his disciples, they'll do the same for you. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. There's a lot of people that's in the imitation religion don't know God the Father nor the Son. They just have imitation religion that Satan has deceived them with. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Spirit indwelling people. He goes on telling his disciples, these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asked me whither thou goest. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Can you imagine the Lord's disciples being filled with sorrow till there was no room for joy left? They was filled with sorrow in their heart. And don't think when God sent Adam out and said, you're going out in sorrow to earn your bread, that you're not going to be tempted and tested and tried with the sorrows of life. The Lord allowed his disciples to go through with it, and he'll allow you and me. Sorrow had filled their heart. Then he goes on, nevertheless, I tell you, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. The Lord walked this earth in his body. He could only be at one place at one time. And he's going to say, you're going to be better off when the Spirit comes, because it's going to be like the wind. It'll operate around the world at the same time. I'm going to send him unto you. And here's what that Holy Spirit does when he sent him here into the world. And you can examine yourself by the Word of God and tell by the dealings of the Spirit in your life whether you're a saved man or whether you're lost outside the door. He said when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. He said it when the Holy Spirit comes to lost people, he'll convict them of sin, try to restrain them from going on in their sinful ways, and warn them of what the terrible wages of sin is if they keep pursuing it. Because the Bible plainly says the wages of sin is death, not only death to the body, but that terrible second death out yonder when God forever banishes the sinners away from his presence in the blackness of darkness forever. And he'll convince them first of sin and next of righteousness, that God's law demands that we live a righteous life. And he'll convince people that they are unrighteous, and how in the world are they going in the city of God when he demands perfect righteousness. But when the Spirit brings you up to the door, to that narrow way, and you find forgiveness and pardon, the Lord Jesus Christ imputes unto us his perfect righteousness, and we won't have to stand in unrighteousness yonder to judgment, but we can stand there in his righteousness. And that's what the Spirit is convincing this world of people of, the sinners of this earth. The next third thing he convinced them of, that out yonder is a judgment day coming. And someday every knee's going to have to bow, and every tongue going to have to confess to God. And that Holy Spirit is convincing you, if you look at people when they die, they don't take a thing with them. You're going someday out into the presence of God with your memory with you. The things you said and the things you have did, to be judged yonder when every knee bows and every man gives an account to God. That's what the Holy Spirit of your loss is trying to do to you this morning, is to convince you of sin and righteousness and of judgment someday, that God demands perfect righteousness if you enter into the city of God, and that they don't have it and they need to seek somebody that does have it, that they can impute to them. So seek the Lord if you haven't already found him, so you can have this perfect righteousness imputed unto you. He goes on and said of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Not only is Satan, all his demons going to be yonder at the judgment and be condemned in that judgment, they already condemned, but all the leaders of the nations, the United States, Russia, and all the great warlords that's calling all the fear and trembling earth, one day will be nailed at that great judgment, giving account to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So prepare to meet God. You're going to have to meet him in the judgment if you're unsaved this morning. The Lord tells the disciples, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Notice, here's what the Holy Spirit does to Christian people. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, that the Lord's going to send to them, He will guide you into all truth. If He comes in to indwell you, you'll have a guide. You'll have the greatest of all teachers, because He'll cause you to understand the eternal Word of God and guide you into all truths. Is the Spirit leading you in paths of righteousness, in paths of truth? It's evident you have the Holy Spirit. He said, for He shall not speak of Himself. He's not going to brag and boast about Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. The Holy Spirit is a spokesman for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He's striving and dealing with you, it's not only the Spirit, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ dealing and speaking with you. So you better hear His voice. All right, He'll guide you into all truth. And He speaks not of Himself. And next, He'll show you things to come. The Holy Spirit, when He comes to comfort us, He shows us the good things the Lord God prepared for us. The Bible says, I have not seen, ear not heard, the good things the Lord got laid up for those that love Him, and His Spirit indwells. And He tells them, He shall glorify Me. The Holy Spirit never glorifies Himself. He always glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice that as you read on down through the Bible, after He come, the Holy Spirit never glorifies Himself. For He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. My, it's something to think as we live here in this world that the Holy Spirit is indwelling us. And Paul said, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So you don't have any hope if the Spirit is not indwelling you this morning. And you're outside of the door and under the wrath of God. So Lord, help you to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ for cleansing and pardon.